Every day's not a good day. It's not. You know, people have bad days. But God is still good.
Amen.
Right? I mean, it's just, God doesn't know how to be anything else but good. I just want you to know that. I think you know that. But that's all God knows how to be. You say, well, isn't God a God of wrath? Can I tell you that even the wrath of God can work the righteousness of man? It can. The wrath of God is good. I'm glad that God is a God of wrath. I am. I'm glad that God allows us to go through hard times. I'm thankful for that. Listen, brethren, if everything in life was positive, there'd be no balance, and, well, we'd have no discipline. There'd be no fear in our heart. God knows what He's doing.
Amen.
We don't. You know, God knows what we need. We do not know what we need. We think we do. But God knows what we need, and I'm glad that He does. Well, before we get into the Scripture tonight, I wonder if anybody has some Scripture that you've memorized that you'd like to share with us. Anybody through the Christmas season into the new year been memorizing Scripture? All right, Brother Greg. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good stuff. That's good stuff. Amen. I'm not clapping for Brother Greg. Well, I'm just thankful that he's hid God's word in his heart and he shared it with us. Anyone else? Good job, Brother Greg. Anyone else? Doesn't have to be 16 verses. Maybe you've memorized one verse of Scripture that God's laid on your heart. Anyone? Maybe you didn't memorize it. God just laid it on your heart and you looked at it and it made a difference in your life. God's word makes a difference.
Amen.
And that's all we're trying to do. I just want to bring to your attention by getting folks and encouraging people to memorize Scripture, getting God's word. It's the difference maker.
Amen.
Now, I'm for church, brethren. I'm for church. You know that. As a matter of fact, I think that I just do. You know how pastors are. Nobody's ever sick. Everybody's faking. You know, when they miss church. I'm for church. I'm for church.
Amen.
But I got to tell you something now. Nothing replaces the Word of God.
Amen.
Nothing.
Right.
You need to get God's Word in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, in your life. It's the difference maker.
Amen.
Say, preacher, I feel like I'm on a roller coaster sometimes. What's wrong with me? Well, I may be able to nail it down just right here. How much time are you spending in the Word of God daily? You know, I'm not indicting you. I'm trying to help you. Okay, so I'm never happy. Well, I'm going to tell you how to be the blessed man. Psalm 1.
Amen.
Right? That's right. Get in God's Word and get God's Word in you. It'll make a difference in your life. So I want 2022 to be different than the previous years, preacher, in my life. I know I'm saved. And listen, I may be talking to someone on live stream tonight. Probably am. okay? That you know you're saved, and yet you know there's something missing. There's something missing, not someone. You know you're saved, you've received Jesus, but now there's something missing. It just might well be this right here.
Amen.
This has to be a daily part of your life now, and the devil's going to fight you. My goodness, is he going to fight you? Isn't he, brethren?
Amen.
Yeah. The devil fights me too. I know about those battles. I know how he tries to get us busy, and it's not always doing bad stuff. Okay? I don't think anybody's going to go out to the bar next week and get drunk. I don't think. I'm not talking about, you know, carousing and reveling and chambering. I'm not talking about that stuff. Riotous living. I'm talking about sometimes getting busy doing good things, but yet leaving the best thing out. Don't leave the best thing out. Spend time in God's Word. Set you a time now. If you don't set a time, you probably won't do it. I don't know what your time is. I don't know. I'm just trying to encourage you. This is where it's at, right? You say, I want my life to be different. I'm tired of this. I'm tired. Listen, the most miserable person in all the world is not a lost man. The most miserable person in all the world is a backslid, cold, indifferent, saved man.
Amen.
Now, the most unfortunate person in all the world is a lost man. Amen. Because you'll die in your sin and go to hell. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. Why don't you enjoy the journey?
Amen.
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 Listen, God has a purpose for your life. Don't miss it now. Please, don't miss it. Don't miss God's purpose. So I want to encourage you now. So, well, I just never have stuck with those reading the Bible through in a year things, preacher. Well, I'm not suggesting that you read the Bible through in a year. Matter of fact, I don't even know that I'd start there. Just read it tomorrow. Say, then what? Then read it Tuesday. Amen? And then set you a time after Tuesday to read it Wednesday. So that's the way you do. You start out and say, well, I'm going to read the Bible every day in 2022. Well, I hope you do. Now, I hope you do. And you just may. But if you're not accustomed to reading God's Word daily, I don't know that I'd really bite off a whole year. I don't know that I'd bite off 365 days before I got my first one in. Just trying to help you now. I want to help you because God's Word is what's going to help you. I'm glad you're at church. I'm glad you're here. Hope you'll come every service. I hope you determine in your heart, by the good grace of God, I'm not going to miss a church service, preacher. I'm going to be in church. Well, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Amen? When you come, bring your tithe. Amen. Yeah, bring your missions offering. That's right. But now that's not going, hear me now, that's not going to replace that daily time you need in the Word. You're not going to come in here and get two meals on Sunday and one on Wednesday and replace what you could have gotten all through the week through your daily Bible reading and your time with God. Matter of fact, it'll pick up your Sunday worship service.
Amen.
You start reading the Word daily, it'll change the way that you sit in church on Sunday. Somebody say amen with
amen.
Me now.
Amen.
I'm just telling you what the Word of God teaches and what I know by experience and what I've seen it over and over again as I've pastored and ministered to people. There's people that are good people, but they're not spiritual people, you see. And I'm not saying you're not spiritual. I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I'm just saying what I feel God wants me to say. Maybe it's somebody sitting here. Maybe it's somebody watching live stream. I don't know. But I know this. The Word of God makes a difference. It'll help you. I want to talk to you. We spoke this morning about, a couple of things. That God is, and He is, and that God has spoken, and He has. I want you to hold your place here and go back just to Hebrews just for a moment, because there's something that I want to point out before we get into tonight's message. I want to talk to you about the inspiration of the Scriptures. And again, I don't say this often. It seems like I have a lot recently, but I don't know how much preaching I'll do. We may get a little deep tonight, all right? You say, well, how deep can you get? Well, I don't know. I'm not a theologian, if that's what you're asking. But I do know a little something about the Scripture. I know what I believe, and I know why I believe what I believe. I know that this book right here, okay, I have a King James Bible. It is the Word of God for the English-speaking people.
Amen.
Now, I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen very carefully. We may talk a little bit about translations tonight. Not so that I can dog people who use a different translation. That's not my purpose. I want to talk to you about some things. Revelation. Inspiration. Are you listening? Preservation. You know what that means? See, we're talking about what saith the Scriptures. What saith the Scriptures about the Scriptures? See, it's not going to matter what the Scriptures say if you don't have confidence in the Scripture.
Right.
You're not going to go to it.
Right.
You have to know what you believe. You have to know what you believe. You can't believe it because I say it.
Right.
You can, but it won't be real in the test of time. It won't be real. You can't go on my belief. You have to have a core value of beliefs. You have to have some conviction in your heart, and you have to found them upon the Scripture of the Word of God.
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 1, notice God who at sundry times, remember what we said that word meant? Right? It meant like, you know, pieces, various pieces, and in divers manners, various ways. So God who used various pieces in various ways, sundry times and in divers manners, he spake. This great God that we talked about this morning. He's spoken. Now in times past, he spoke this way, in sundry times, in divers manners. That's what it said. He spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. See that? But now look at this. In these last days, he's spoken to us. Now, that's what I wanted to point out. To us. God has spoken to us. Aren't you glad God's speaking?
Amen.
I'm glad God has spoken to us.
Amen.
See, that's what brings God close, up close and personal. Now listen to me. You say, well, God is good. You better believe he's good. God is good. But now if God hadn't spoken to us, we wouldn't know he was good. See, I know God's good because God said he was.
Amen.
Amen. And I believe the Word. And God said he's good, so God's good. Whether I've experienced it or not. Now, I want to go on record saying I have every day of my life. But had I never experienced the fact that God was good, listen, I'd believe it because God said so.
Amen.
See, that's the importance of his Word. You see, we can't live life on experiences. Don't get caught up in that. You know, well, yeah, I'm looking for an experience, preacher. Listen, I'm going to tell you, emotions will take the wheel when you start living by experiences. You don't want to live by experiences. Emotion's a good thing. That's right. It's not the chief thing. It's not the principal thing, but it's good to have emotion. God gave us emotion. That's right. It's okay to express them. But you don't want to let emotion have the wheel now. Emotion will take you places you don't want to go. Now, truth, on the other hand, never leads you wrong.
Amen.
That's right. Truth, you see. And so God has spoken, and he's spoken to us. Now, how has God spoken to us? Well, in the time past, he spoke through the prophets. And he did it, as we talked about, he did it in different places. He told, like Moses, you know, we went through that. And I just used the person of Jesus just as an illustration. He told Moses it's going to be the seed of a woman. He told Isaiah he's going to be born of a virgin. He told Jacob in Genesis 49 that he's going to be of the house of David. In the book of Numbers, he said he's going to be of the tribe of Judah. So, yeah, it's just God has spoken at sundry times and in divers manners. Sometimes he would speak through still small voice, sometimes a thundering voice, sometimes in visions. He used different ways. But now in these last days, the Bible says he's spoken to us. Brethren, can I tell you that in these last days in which we live, we have a copy of what God has spoken.
Amen.
Right here. This is what God has spoken.
Amen.
Right here. We have it in our native tongue. We're a blessed people.
Amen.
We don't even realize how blessed we are. Now, if you live in America, the last count I had was over. It was getting close to 300 translations of the Bible. I'm going to say some things, And if you want to prove me wrong, prove me wrong. Okay? Bring me material. I've done my research. It's all about money. It's all about money. It's this right here. Translation after translation after translation. I said I'm going to get into that. But here's what I want to do. I want to talk to you about inspiration first. And then we're going to get into this word called preservation, because I want to talk to you about the Bible. You know, can we trust the Bible? Is this the Word of God? Brethren, listen, I tell people all the time, it's kind of like falling down. You only have two choices. You can either stay down or get up. Yeah, I can't tell you the number of people that come to me and say, "Preacher, I don't know what to do." Well, let me make it easy for you. I'm going to bring it down to two decisions. You either stay down or get up. I can't decide for you. I'll help you. I'll pray with you. I'll try to encourage you. But really, when it comes down, now we can deduce this thing down. Either you can stay down when you fall down, or you can get up. Now, a just man falls seven times, but guess what? He'll get up the eighth. Amen. He's going to get up. Amen. And so it really comes down to this on this. Either this is the Word of God or it's not. Right. Now, we can fight and bicker and get on Instagram and Facebook. And boy, I mean, we can just go to battle. Either I believe this is the Word of God or I don't. Either I believe we have it or I don't. So I want to talk to you about some of those things, okay, just in a few moments here that we have together. So I want you to go back to 2 Timothy, and here's the setting here. Paul is writing young Timothy. Paul's getting ready to check out of this world. That's what he's getting ready to do. All right, you know the situation of 2 Timothy, right? Paul's getting ready to check out. And so he's got his young protege there. He's got young Timothy, and you know, Timothy was kind of Paul's understudy. He was a man that Paul had mentored, and he just thought, I think he considered it his own son in the faith. He called him that. I believe that Timothy got saved under Paul's ministry when he was in Lystra. And I believe that Paul trained him and taught him many things. And he's counseling Timothy here in chapter 3. And he said, Timothy, I just got to tell you now, times are not going to get better. They're going to get worse. Okay, chapter 3. This know also in verse number 1, in the last days, perilous times are going to come. He said, Timothy, tough days here. But he said, now, you don't have to allow that to rub off on you. I want you to listen to me. He said, while times are getting worse, you can get better. You understand what I'm saying? He said, well, now here's how you're going to have to do it. You got to stick with this book. Amen. He said, I want to give you some counsel. And he starts that in verse number 14. He kind of brings it to a close in verse 13. He said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So that's kind of the wrapping it up from verse number 1 all the way to verse number 13. He said, boy, perilous times are coming. Hard times are coming. It's going to get rough, Timothy. And he said, listen, these evil men, they've always been since the dawning of time. And he said, they'll always be around. And it's just going to get worse and worse, Timothy. But I'm not painting a grim picture for you. I just want you to know that for your life, you can get better and better. Though everything around you is degrading and going down and degenerating, you don't have to degenerate with it. You can get better because God's left us something that can renew that inward man day by day. Amen. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. And so he said this in verse number 14. He said, I want you to think about this. He said, I want to counsel you. I'm going to take you like to a council room. And he said, but now, Timothy, but continue thou. Now, see, he's been speaking about these evil men, these seducers. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Amen. He said, I want you to stick with that. Amen. Don't change your core beliefs. Amen. Right? Amen. How many folks have you seen over the years change their core beliefs? Change, listen, the seat of their conviction. Change where they have stood for years and years and years. They just change. Like overnight, just yeah. Well, what happened? Yeah, I'm going to tell you the reason I think a lot of folks do that, and I don't know. Again, I don't know people's hearts. Because it never was in here. It was up here. See, they heard somebody say it. They say, you know what? I like that. I think I'm going to adapt that. Well, that's not going to do for you when the storms come. Please hear me. I'll never forget Dr. Harold Seidler, you know, boy, you get talking about the King James down in Greenville, South Carolina, people think you're talking about the blood of Jesus. Amen. I mean, boy, people get their shouting and carrying on, and that's, listen, nothing wrong with it. It's the Word of God for the English-speaking people. But he'd always tell us, now, just calm down, boys. If you don't know why you believe it, you're no better than the guy who doesn't believe it. You don't believe this because I'm preaching it to you, he'd tell us. If you can't stand up here and tell me why you believe it, he said, you need to get to study. Don't be a lazy loafer now. That's right. You don't believe the King James because the preacher believes the King James. Because mama believed the King James or grandpa, why do you believe that you have a copy of the Word of God? And so he said, Timothy, He said, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, teachers are important. And he mentions, you know, in verse number 15, what a tremendous verse of scripture. Look at it. He said that from a child thou hast known, and again, I want you to go, if you can find somewhere else this phrase is used, bring it to me. As far as I can tell, this is the only time in all the Bible this phrase is used. The Holy Scriptures. As a child. Listen, I could preach the whole message right there. Parents, you need to get to teaching your children the Holy Scriptures.
Amen.
I want you to go home if you have a Strong's Concordance or you know, it doesn't have to be, it could be a Vines. If you have a Young's, get your concordance out and look this word Scriptures up. Okay? The Holy Scripture, verse 15, that thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. It's not the same word that's used in verse 16. All Scripture. That word there comes from gramma, which means grammatics or grammatical. And so he said, Timothy, you've been taught the ABCs. And, many of you were taught the ABCs scripturally. A is for Adam. B is for Bible. Now, I wasn't taught that. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I wasn't brought up in a Christian environment. Christians didn't go to Christian school. But this is what he's telling Timothy. That as from a child, you look at that word child. Look, in verse 15, I'm in verse 15. That from a child, look that word up. It means from the earliest of ages, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Very important, brethren.
Amen.
Very important. Well, they can't get, what could they learn, preacher? You'd be amazed at what a child can take in. I know mothers who read their children the scripture when they're still in the womb. I think it's great.
Amen.
Listen to Christian music, I think it's great. I sure do. The Holy Scriptures, the ABCs, bringing them up on the Word of God. I'm going to make a statement here, and some folks are going to say, well, you know, the preacher, he's not for education. You don't know me very well. I am for education. I'm more for the Bible.
Amen.
See, this is number one right here with me.
Amen.
I'd rather my child know more about the Bible than they did calculus.
Amen.
History.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody ought to be saying amen. Say, hey, no, preacher, I think that this is more important. That's more important. You sure? That from a child.
Yeah.
Look at verse 15. He said, you need to be assured, in verse number 14, of what thou hast learned. And he said, that from a child thou hast known what a quotient and an equation is. That's not what he said.
Right.
You know, you'd win the area spelling bee. If you do that, that's great, Timothy. But I'd rather you be able to tell me what thus saith the Scriptures.
Amen.
What's the Bible say? Amen. There's a lot of educated people in hell, but there's no folks that know the Holy Scriptures.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? You see, that's what makes the difference.
Amen.
It's very important. We've got our priorities all mixed up in our country. There was a day when this country, in the schoolhouses in this country right here, I'm talking about in America, they taught people how to read from the Holy Scriptures. You know that, right?
Yeah.
How many of you knew that?
Yeah.
That's right. That's exactly how people learn to read. Not anymore. But you can teach your children that. The Holy Scriptures. He said that these Holy Scriptures in verse number 15, he said, they're able to make thee wise unto salvation. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Amen.
Well, I tell you, I think that things have just changed, haven't they? I mean, we bring our children to Sunday school. We want our Sunday school teachers to teach them all about Jesus. Listen, you teach your children about Jesus. The Sunday school teachers are not their place to. Now, they ought to. Amen. But listen, it's the parents' place, first and foremost, to teach their children about Jesus.
Amen.
That's where it starts. Say, well, preacher, I messed up. Well, you know what? Sometimes folks do mess up. But now, if you can change it, change it. If you can't, do better next time around. Amen. So I'm beyond that. I'm up there with Abraham and Sarah now, preacher. Well, you know, the grandchildren will be coming along soon. Teach them from the Holy Scriptures.
Amen.
And he said that it's able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I want you to hold on to that statement as we get into this next one. He said, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. You see that word inspiration there? It's a very important word. It means God breathed. How do we get the Bible? Well, you know, they had a council in Nicaea in 325, preacher. And old Pope Gregory I said, let's give them a Bible. See, you don't believe that, do you? That's what the Catholic Church will tell you. I'm not throwing off on Catholics. I'm just telling you what the Catholic Church will tell you. That's not how you got a Bible. If it was up to them, you wouldn't have one.
Right.
Just so you know.
Right.
See, we quit teaching history. We quit teaching the way this thing works.
Right.
And we think people know. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Let me give you a few words here. First of all, verbal. We believe in verbal inspiration. Verbal inspiration of the Scripture. What's that mean? That means they're God-breathed. Peter put it this way. Holy men of old spake. Listen now. As they were moved. What an interesting word. It's a very important word. It's a word that's translated as wind in the sails in Acts 27. See, it's something that's moving something else to get them to a destination. It's like winds in a sail. Holy men of old. Listen, they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you something about inspiration that you really need to know now. This book that we have is of God. This is not man's book. Not because I said so, because God said so. I want you to write this verse down. Psalm 119, verse 89. We're seeing what the Scripture says. Psalm 119, verse 89. The Scripture says that the heaven and earth. Well, that's wait a minute. I wrote it down here. Let me get it. I was getting ready to get Matthew 24. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Forever. Now, it either is or it's not. So please don't think that what God did is he said, well, you know what? I didn't know Saul was going to get saved. I think I'll use him to write 9 books in the New Testament. Forever, O Lord. Now listen, I'm talking to you about inspiration. See, God knew before Saul was even born how this was going to happen. God prepared that young man as he sent him at the feet of a wise teacher, Gamaliel. Now you hear me. God knew what he was going to use Paul to do because God knew what he was going to say way before he moved on Paul to say it. That's inspiration.
Amen.
See, God governed the affairs of environment, of education, of mindset, of culture. That's right. God prepared holy men of old. See, God was involved in all of this. Don't you just think that God just said, well, I'm looking for somebody to write a book to the Romans. I'm glad it got saved. Here's one right here. That's not the way this works. That's not inspiration. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God knew who was going to write way before they wrote, brethren. Are you listening to me? God's word's always been. Listen to me. He just chose a time to give it to us. You understand that? I sure hope you do. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but thy word shall never pass away. See, God's word always has been. And so it didn't take God by surprise to say, well, I think I'm going to use John to write this book, and you know, now that he's here. No. God knew who he was going to use to write what he was going to write. And God moved on them. That's inspiration. God moved on them. He prepared these men's lives, and he moved on them to write what he wanted to say. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God's in control of it all. Now, either you believe that or you don't.
Yeah.
Don't think we got the Bible by chance now, please. See, that's why a lot of people's walking around scratching their head saying, I don't know what I believe. I know what I believe. I believe in a sovereign God who's in control of everything, who is providential, who nothing has ever taken him by surprise, never. Dr. Seidler used to tell us, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? You know, we act like God is caught off guard. And never. Inspiration So God moved on these people, and they spake as the Holy Ghost of God moved on them, and they wrote what God wanted them to write. He was the wind in their sails. Are you listening? And they wrote exactly what God wanted them to write. So that's inspiration. All Scripture, look at it, verse 16, is given by inspiration. That word is God breathed. God moved in 2 Peter chapter 1. Holy Ghost, the holy men of old spake as they were moved, which means born alone. They were born alone by God. God was watching over every word that they wrote down. God was guiding the pen of the writer. I hope you believe that. If you don't, terrible way to go through life. Terrible way to go through life. So, all Scripture. So we believe in verbal inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's given. God did it for us. Right? Isn't that what Hebrews said? He spake unto us. It's for our benefit. As we shall see here in just a moment, Paul bears that out. So we believe in verbal inspiration. Then number two, we believe in what's called plenary, which means full, complete, plenary. The plenary inspiration of the Scripture. That means all. You see that word, all Scripture. So, and I don't believe He inspired every word. I believe He just inspired the thoughts. Well, where'd you read that in there? Some professors got a hold of you. Some liberal professor, some loose wing, listen to me now, lame brain, some God-denying professor has then got a hold of you. Might have been standing behind a pulpit somewhere. Oh, I've heard them preach. I've heard some of them. They're sneaky. They are. They're crafty. They're subtle, just like their master. I'm telling you now. Well, people try to get you to deny this book and to doubt this book, try to destroy your faith. All Scripture. So what I believe, and I'm trying not to get ahead of myself into the translation, but I believe in inspired thoughts. You'll never see that anywhere in the Bible. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every thought. That's not what he said. He said, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Brethren, listen, every word matters. As a matter of fact, every letter matters. Every jot, every tittle. It's all inspired of God. Amen. Amen. So I believe that. I have strong faith in this. Now, this one I'm going to break it down to. Okay, so number one, there's inspiration. God moved on men. They wrote it down, and they wrote down what God said to write. And then he canonized, which means he brought the Scripture together. So we have the canonization of Scripture. We have these 66 books. Anybody that tells you, and I've had people tell me, well, I believe in the Apocrypha. Well, that's, if you want to believe in that, that's fine. It's not inspired. Amen? Amen? You know what the Apocrypha is? It's those writings in those intertestamental periods. It's not part of the Bible. It's not part of the canonization of Scripture. There's 66 books in our English translation of the Bible. Amen? Amen. Genesis to Revelation. You need to understand this. Somebody's going to come on and try to sell you another testament of Jesus Christ. You tell them, hit the road.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Listen, brethren, I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to help you. I want you to understand why you believe what you believe. If you don't believe it, you need to study and find out some things. That might be why a lot of folks walking around on, listen, they're scared to death in a pandemic. Oh, my God, he can't take care of me. Well, if he can't keep a book pure, he can't take care of you. Amen.
Amen.
If he can't give a book and keep it preserved and keep it pure, he can't take care of us. I'd be scared too. I'm not being smart aleck. I'm just being straight. Man, we got folks running around our country. They don't know what they believe, and they're calling themselves Christians. They say they're independent Baptists. I mean, you know, what's going on? I'm talking to you about inspiration. This book is inspired of God. This is God's book. This is not Baptist book. This is God's book.
Amen.
Amen. God wrote this book. He used men to write it, but God told them what to write.
Amen.
He watched over them carefully to make sure that they wrote what he wanted them to write. You say, yeah, but preacher, well, I tell you, that was the originals. You ever had anybody come to you that?
Yeah.
That was the originals. Yeah. How many of you believe Peter wrote some of the originals? Raise your hand. I believe he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter. It's a possibility. He could have wrote Mark. I'm just saying possibility. Or dictated to Mark. How many of you think Peter was a mess? Huh? You don't think a holy God can move through Peter and create a perfect original? I think he did. You think he could take some kind of not so perfect guys and translate some perfection?
Amen.
I think he can.
Amen.
Amen. So that's what these folks that try to get you to doubt your King James or any. Listen, the English speaking Bible, that's what they try to get you to doubt this. Well, you know, Erasmus. I have some problems with this one and that one. I tell you, they wasn't the most moral of people. Well, Peter cussed.
Right. Yeah.
You gonna tear his part out? Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Moses killed a man. He wrote the first five books of the Bible.
Right.
I'm just saying that God can draw a straight line with a crooked stick.
Right.
I'm talking to you about inspiration. Don't ever let anyone tell you that this is not God's book.
Amen.
They're not your friend.
Right.
They're trying to do you harm. They're trying to strip you of faith.
Amen.
Because this book is what produces faith in our lives.
Amen.
And if your faith is weak, it's because you're not in this book. And it may be because of your approach to this book. And I hope it's not with a doubt. So that's Satan's. Listen, that was his very first approach.
Right.
Hath God said.
That's it.
Hath God said. Always trying to get people to doubt. So inspiration. Second of all, preservation. The inspiration of Scripture, that deals with, well, what was called the original autographs, okay? God inspired the original text. We're going to talk about that some. And then he preserved that. The Scripture says so. In Psalm 12, in verse number 7, it talks about that God has kept his word from this generation to every generation moving forward. God keeps his word, right?
Amen.
God, I believe that we have a copy of the preserved, inspired word of God. I don't think that it's lost any of its power. It's through the years. People say, well, you know, maybe back when it was first written, then maybe that was pure. But it's just been handed down and passed through so many hands. And you know, well, you know what? If it was left up to man, it would be corrupt.
Right.
But this, God didn't leave this up to man. See, that's what I'm saying. I hope you understand this. God didn't leave his book up to man.
Amen.
God overseen this. This was God's word. This was God's word. And God wanted us to have his word. And so God overseen that. He didn't leave that into the hands of men. And so he's preserved us a copy of his word. We have a copy of the preserved, inspired word of God. Can I tell you that this book that I hold in my hand is just as pure as the day that Paul penned down his portion of it.
Amen.
Amen. So I don't believe that, preacher. I feel sorry for you.
Amen.
I'm not being mean. Hey, I'm not being mean. I'm being true.
Amen.
No wonder folks don't have any joy in their life. I didn't believe that what this book said about half of it was so, I'd be kind of moping and moping around too.
Sure.
Pouting around, doubting God, and thinking that, you know, living the chicken little life. The sky's falling. The sky's falling.
Yeah.
Man, that's a crazy way to live life. Don't you live your life that way. This is God's book.
Amen.
And God has inspired it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And he's preserved it. It's preserved. It's just as inspired today as it was the day God moved on those men to write it.
Right.
We have a copy. As a matter of fact, three times he said, don't you mess with my book. Deuteronomy 4. Write it down. Deuteronomy 4 verse 2. Proverbs 30, verse 6. Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. He said, hey, don't you mess with my book.
Amen.
You add to my book, you take from my book, I'm going to deal with you. That's paraphrasing. But I'm getting pretty close to the intent of what he meant. Don't you mess with my book. God doesn't want man tampering with his book. He used man to give us what he wanted, but he said, now don't tamper with it on your own. Is that right, brethren?
Amen.
He said, don't be changing my book. I know what I want to say, and I'm going to say what I want to say, and don't you change it. So there's inspiration. That's God moving on men, them writing it down so we can know what God has to say to us. Number two, preservation. That's God preserving it through the translation process and giving us, number one, giving us in our native tongue what we have now as a preserved, inspired word in this King James Bible. Now, I want to talk to you about text. Where do we get this from? And I don't go deep into this, but I want you to listen very carefully. I'm going to go from the council room to the classroom. Paul was counseling Timothy, and he said, Timothy, you need to know what you believe, and listen, you need to stick with it. And then he said, now I want you to know that all Scripture, Timothy, is given by inspiration of God. So he counseled Timothy first. He said, listen, you need to continue the things which thou hast learned. Just stick with it, Timothy. And then he said, I want to take you from counsel to the classroom. I want to teach you something. He said, that book, all Scripture, those parchments. As a matter of fact, later on in this chapter, in chapter 4, you're there in 2 Timothy. If you'll notice, he makes mention of them in verse number 13 of chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. He said, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. That's something for the body. And then he said this, and the books, that's something for the mind. But he said, especially the parchments, that's something for the soul. Amen. He said, don't forget the parchments. That's that inspired word of God that he was speaking of back over here in chapter 3, verse 16. He said, don't forget the parchments.
Amen.
Amen. He said, don't forget them. And so he said, I want to teach you something about those parchments. He said, they're all inspired. All of them. All the Scripture that God has given is inspired of God. Aren't you glad of that? I don't have to thumb through here and say, now I wonder if this part's inspired. Let's see, I don't know. This says that a whale swallowed a man. Could that be inspired? Yes.
Amen.
I said yes.
Amen.
Amen. This said that some guy wouldn't bow down and he threw him in a den of lions. Could that be inspired? Yes.
Amen.
Yes. It's all inspired.
Amen.
Brethren, I believe all the Bible.
Amen.
And I believe you do. I just want you to beware now. There's people out there that are, I mean, they're everywhere. They're on every corner. They're at every turn. They're just trying to strip away our faith. And you just have to know what you believe and why you believe it.
Amen.
So I don't know what I believe. Well, get with me. I'll give you some material. Because I'm going to break it down here in just a moment of what it really comes down to in just a moment as I bring this to a close. So there's inspiration, there's preservation, then there's translation. I'm just going to make this very, I'm going to take a very complicated situation, just make it very simple here. There's only two texts, brethren, okay? There's the Antiochian text and there's the Alexandrian text. The Antiochian text is it's called the TR, the Textus Receptus, or the received text. That who we be.
Amen.
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 Yeah, we're the Textus Receptus. We're the received text, folks. And then there's this Alexandrian text. You know what another name for it is? Listen, you can do this research on your own. Egyptian text. I don't want anything to do with that. That doesn't even sound good to me.
Right.
Hey, man. The Egyptian text. The Alexandrian text. The Nestles. The Westcott Hort text. Look it up. They know about these folks. They know about them two Germans. Hey, man. Liberals. So that's where all these, remember all those translations I was talking to you about? That's where they come from right here. Westcott Hort. Nestle. Same text. It's different names. Alexandrian. They're corrupt. You listening? They're Catholic Bibles. I want you, and I'm not, listen, I'm not bashing. If you're watching and you're Catholic, I'm not bashing Catholicism. Listen, I'm not saying that every person that's a Catholic is going to hell. You're going to hell if you're not saved. Amen. You can be a Baptist and go to hell. Amen. But you need to know. You walk in a bookstore now, and you look around, there's 300 translations on the wall. I'll give you a test. Go to the bookstore tomorrow. Walk in and say, I'm looking for a good Bible. Do you have one to recommend? If they say King James, I want you to faint. And then call me. and I'll faint. It's money. It's copyright. Do the math. Do the research. But I'm telling you so. But I want you to know for yourself. Translation, two texts. Okay? Texas Receptus or the Westcott Hort, the Nestles. The Antiochian or the Alexandrian. Same thing. We're the Texas Receptus. That's where this blessed old King James Bible, the Geneva Bible. That's right. William Tyndale. Listen, Wycliffe, y'all ought to study these men. I'm telling you, it's something, brethren. There's people who gave their life so you could hold a Bible in your hand tonight. I just want you to know that. They died a martyr's death. The Waldensians, listen, these folks, this is part of history. I'm not a history buff, but I know enough to know I believe my Bible. This is the Word of God. Now, I want to close with this. I want to talk to you about what Paul told Timothy here. Okay? Go back there with me just for a moment in 2 Timothy chapter 3. So he said this. He said, Timothy, I want you to keep the things which thou hast learned. Continue thou in them. All right? And he said, the times are going to get bad, but now you don't have to. Times are going to get rough, but you don't have to get rough and bad with them. You can keep yourself pure. You can keep yourself as a man of God. I like what Paul told Timothy here. He said, from the time, in verse number 15, he goes from him being a youth, being a child, in verse 15, to being a man of God in verse 17. He said, that's what the Holy Scriptures can do. They can take you each step of the way. They can keep you in the right way. They can keep you in the right path. They can keep you in the will of God. They can keep you in the way of God. They can keep you doing what God wants you to do with your life. And he said, the reason God gave his word, number one, he said in verse 15, so that it can make you wise into salvation, so you could get saved. But number two, he said that these scriptures were given, look if you would, for doctrine. First of all, he said they were profitable. Amen. And they are. For doctrine, that's what's right. For reproof, well, that's what's not right. For correction, that's how to take what's not right and make it right. That's what correction is. And then for instruction, that's how to stay right. Right? Instruction. But notice what he said. Let's look at that next word in verse 17. What's it say? That. This is why God gave the scripture. God gave the scripture that men might be saved in verse 15, and that a man of God may be perfect, mature. You'll never be mature as a Christian if you don't get in the Word now. Please listen to me. You'll never be mature in the Scripture if you don't stay in the Word. You'll never mature. You'll never reach God's potential for your life if you don't get in this book right here. Because Paul just said it right here, that. That's the intention of the Scripture. Look at verse 17. He said, I said that, all that, to say this, that the man of God may be perfect. That's mature. That's complete. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You'll never do the work that God has called you to do. I'll never do the work that God's called me to do if I don't stay in this book. This is where it's at. The Scripture. Is this a big part of your life? What saith the Scripture about the Scripture? It says it's God's Word. So it all comes down to this. So years ago, I'm sitting at a desk, and I've got all of this stuff sprawled out, and I'm looking, and I'm reading what this one says, and I'm reading what this one says, and, you know, I'm trying to do my due diligence. I want to do my research and know why I believe what I believe. And then it's like God just kind of said, now listen. Either you believe me or you don't. It really comes down to faith.
Amen.
I've never seen the original copies. I mean, I've never seen them. I haven't. I remember Jule Smith. Anybody in here know who Jule Smith? Okay. Listen, he had the largest collection of manuscripts of anyone on the face of the earth. Now, he's passed on. I think his son took on his ministry. I sure hope so. This man had a Bible that Queen Elizabeth had, and I mean, it was just something. Some of the old martyrs' Bibles, they had them in glass cases, preserved, had guards. I remember he came to Tabernacle when I was in school there, and it was just amazing. And he'd done this week-long presentation on how we got our King James Bible. I'm telling you right now, it's stirring to know what people went through so we could have a Bible. And we just treat it like it's nothing. You know, we just take it home and toss it down. You know, if it gets beat up, well, we got three or four more. But it used to not be that way. So it comes down to this. You can go ahead and stand. I know you've been sitting for a while. Where's your faith? And that's what God spoke to my heart about. Son, where's your faith? You believe I'm God? Yes, sir, I do. Yes, God, I do believe you're God. Okay. Do you believe I've spoken? Yes, God, I do. I believe you've spoken. Do you believe that I'm just? I do. God, I believe you're just. You believe I love you? I do. Do you believe that there is a word of mine in your tongue? Yeah, I do. The question is, which one is it? I believe it's this one, Lord. I believe it's this one. My research takes me here. But there's going to come a time when you're just going to say, by faith, I believe God has given us a copy of His Word, and this is it right here. I can't explain to you about the martyrs and how that they this one handed down from this one to this one. There's people who can do that. You may never be able to do that. But when you read this book right here, you know it's alive.
Amen.
I know this book's alive right here.
Amen.
It's alive. And by faith, I accept that God has left us His Word. He has inspired His Word. He said that. And I accept it by faith. And that He has preserved His Word. I accept it by faith. Just like I did when I accepted Christ as my Savior. You believe what the Bible says about Jesus? I do. You believe He died and was buried and rose again? I do. Well, then thou shalt be saved. That's by faith.
Yeah.
You believe God wrote a book? I do. You believe He's preserved it and given a copy in your native tongue? I do. Well, there it is. Live it. Right? You say, well, preacher, I don't know if I could do that. Well, I don't know if you have another choice. About 300 copies, translations out there. Sort through. King James Bible is the Word of God for the English-speaking people.
Amen.
For your pastor. I believe it is for every person who wants to be honest. You say, I don't believe that. I'll wait up here after service and you can bring me proof. If you're watching by live stream, contact me, 434-960-5155. That's my cell phone, not trying to be smart of it. I'm wide open to this. I know what I believe.
Amen.
I know. I know that this is the Word of God.
Amen.
It changes lives. Let's bow our heads together.